Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Brandi Carlile and her band are playing the Fresh Grass Festival at Mass Mocha this Saturday.
Sometimes I lose my faith in luck. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I just count the rain, wearing the flow to the boards again. I wish I could find a soul to steal. I could be the engine and you could be the wheel. And we could drive it home and never have to worry about being alone. Ooh, I follow my tracks. See all the times I should have turned back. Ooh, I wept alone. I know what it means to be on my own.
For more than a decade, the big-voiced roots rocker has shared the road with twin brothers Phil and Tim Hanseroth. Renowned for their high-energy live show, their most recent album, before a special project that I'll explain momentarily, was The Fire Watcher's Daughter, a collection of building and boiling songs full of nothing more or less than a whole lot of heart. Release I promised to explain is Cover Stories. Brandi Carlile celebrates 10 years of The Story, an album to benefit War Child. The Story is Carlile's 2007 album, produced by T-Bone Burnett and featuring a resonant group of songs that earned the record gold status earlier this year, 10 years after its release. Cover Stories features all new recordings of those songs by artists like Adele, Indigo Girls, Jim James, Kris Kristofferson, Dolly Parton, and Pearl Jam. Here's Brandi performing the title track of the original album.
These lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. So many stories of where I've been, and now I got to where I am. But these stories don't mean anything when you've got no one to tell them. It's true, I was made for you.
And here is Dolly Parton on Cover Stories.
I've climbed across the mountain tops, swam all across the ocean blue. I've crossed all the lines and I broke all the rules, but baby, because even when I was flat broke, well, you made me feel like a million bucks. You do. And I was made for you.
How about one more before we get to the interview? Brandi's version of Again Today?
Broken sticks and broken stones are turned to dust just like our bones. It's words that hurt the most. Now, isn't it? Are you sad inside? Are you home alone? If I could just pick up the phone, maybe you can see a better day. And you won't waste away under my watchful eye. Because I'm your hero and you're my weakness.
Who's gonna break my fall? When the spin starts, the colors bleed together, fade. Was it ever there at all? And have I lost my way? The path of least resistance is catching up with me.
And Pearl Jam's version of Again Today on Cover Stories.
I'm broken down, not good enough. The broken promises add up. Just twice they were waiting, the tears which I have caused. I'm afraid to sink, I'm afraid to swim. I'm sad to say I missed my friends. I know that I'm supposed to step away, but they need me to stay and keep up.
Again, Brandi Carlile is performing at the Freshgrass Festival at Mass Mocha this Saturday. Brandi, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I want to talk to you about a bunch of things. One of them is, I want to tell you right up front that I find it very hard to get through listening to all of Cover Stories because I'm like emotionally overwhelmed by the whole project.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow, in a good way, in a good way.
To start with. I appreciate it.
Sure, it just seems
I'm still
like...
emotionally overwhelmed by it, too.
I bet. It just seems like such an insane amount of work and then dream come true time once you get to release it.
Yeah, it was a fascinating project for me because it opened up a lot of windows into other parts of my soul, you know, as an activist, but also as a writer. To be writing so many letters for this project but no songs was really interesting to see how similar the two processes are.
How did you decide who you would approach to be part of the album?
Well, one artist's participation triumph just kind of led into another. When I would get a yes back and somebody would send me a song, and then it'd be easier to get somebody else involved. And it just kind of started forming its own chain that started making a lot of sense. And I was selecting artists that I, you know, consider to be activists, people that can really blur political lines, people that can talk to other people's fans in an esoteric way. I thought it was really important for the symbolism of Dolly representing the refugees and the children in conflict to Pearl Jam's fans, and Pearl Jam representing the refugees and children in conflict to Dolly Parton's fans. Those kinds of concepts were what was really important to me, was just depoliticizing children. And the artists that we chose are people that can do that, and it's a unique tendency.
100% of the proceeds go to help children in war zones through an organization called War Child UK. How did you discover, and how long have you been working with and supporting War Child UK?
Well, I discovered War Child UK because my wife, Catherine, she worked for Paul McCartney in the UK, and she ran his charity for like 10 years. And Paul McCartney did a lot of work with War Child. War Child did, you know, essentially a lot of work with a lot bigger artists and had been doing it for a long time. And War Child was looking after child refugees, child soldiers, kids in refugee camps, long before it was making international news in a way that it has in the past few years. And so my wife made me hip to War Child and the work they did and how worthy they were of receiving our support. And that's when I wanted to make an impact. But I wanted to make an impact that was bigger than something that we could do, being sort of a small indie act. And that's when we reached out and got that overwhelming support.
There's a foreword for the record written by President Barack Obama. How did that happen? How did you approach him? I know that you are close with his White House photographer, Pete Souza. So
yeah,
that must have been in play.
He was here for the last week. He came and stayed at my house for a week.
That's awesome.
Taking photos for the new record. So it's really, the record the photos from my new record are going to be candid. It's really amazing.
He's so great. I mean, he's so talented, and then he seems, I mean, I don't know, but you do. He seems so cool.
He's so cool. He's so talented, but his, like, one of his real talents is making himself microscopic and totally, like, invisible in any given scene, you know? So the way that that unfolded was, I'm pretty sure he was privy to some pretty interesting things at my house over the course of the week that I just forgot he was there. And that made for some interesting photos. I'm really, really pleased. But no, I sent Barack Obama a letter. And it's one letter over the course of several letters I sent him during his presidency, because I consider, you know, him to be one of the great civil rights leaders of my generation. I really appreciated his presidency, and I appreciated what it did for my family. It was an extension of that, and it was just kind of this whole parting gift, you know, when he was leaving office, to write me that little foreword. And I know he supported the cause, and I know he has a heart for the refugees. And so I was pretty honored to get that foreword.
I think that I know what you mean when you say what he did for your family, but would you mind elaborating for people who mightn't know how that applies, how the Obama presidency applies to you personally and what he accomplished?
Well, I think what you're alluding to is the marriage equality issue. Is that, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was definitely a really big thing that he did for my family. As a matter of fact, when my wife, who's a Londoner, was trying to immigrate, we were having so many problems because DOMA was still in effect. And we were getting detained at the airport, and she was only allowed to visit me on an ESTA, and I couldn't vouch for her to get a green card. She did qualify in the end for an L1 visa because of all of her work with Paul McCartney and Live Aid War Child. But it was really difficult knowing that because we were both women, we couldn't live in the same country if she hadn't had access to an exceptional
connection. Right.
Yeah. So when Barack Obama came out and publicly expressed his support for marriage equality, which is the first time any U.S. president had ever done that, I was so moved by it that was actually the day, and actually the very hour, that I proposed to Catherine. It was all fueled by that, and I wrote him a letter and told him that at the time, too. But there's a lot of other things he did for my family, too, which is that he made it possible for my mom and dad to have health care, and he created an environment of awareness and civil rights, the way that he spoke about our history of slavery, the comments and the quotes that he resuscitated from the Nelson Mandela era, the way that he generated public awareness of race tensions and race issues, and the way that he made African-American children feel seeing somebody that looked like them in office was huge for me, huge for my family, and something I won't forget no matter how much people in opposition trash his presidency. He was a beautiful civil rights leader and a brilliant man. I love Barack Obama.
I get to speak with you today because you are coming to the Fresh Grass Festival at Mass Mocha.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you enjoy a festival? Do you like playing a festival?
I love a festival, but I particularly love a festival like Fresh Grass. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Have you spoken with Alison Brown?
Not this year, but in my life, yes.
Okay. She's got my phone number and email, and she's been absolutely relentlessly calling me for collaborations and to work together. That is what I love. I love things like that, a festival that creates a musical community or a scene.
Mm-hmm.
When we see that happen, we see, like, legendary moments. And she keeps referring to a Fresh Grass moment. She wants us to make a Fresh Grass moment happen. And it's just like, that makes me think of things like, you know, the great days at the Newport. And, you know, some of the special moments that have happened around those scenes, I think Fresh Grass is every bit of that.
Do you know yet your schedule for that day, not to stalk you, but to hope for you that you will have time to take in a little bit of the museum while you're there?
I will. I'm going to be there the day before, and I am going to make an early appearance with Alison Brown. We're talking about doing an Allman Brothers tribute,
mm-hmm.
and I'm working out a tune with them. So it's going to be a pretty special and collaborative day.
That's fantastic. Mass Mocha is one of my favorite places on the entire planet, and I very often have the opportunity to get on the radio and tell people like yourself that it's the best. Not that you need me to tell you. You'll know and you'll find out. I think you'll have a wonderful time.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Brandy, thank you again for your time, for the music, for the activism, for your presence, and I can't wait to see you at Mass Mocha.
Thanks for talking to me, Kelly Stewart.
Brandy Carlile is performing at the Fresh Grass Festival at Mass Mocha this Saturday. Cover Stories, Brandy Carlile Celebrates 10 Years of the Story, an album to benefit War Child, is available from Legacy Recordings. All proceeds benefit War Child UK. Links to more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.